Welcome once again to the official Scottish Rugby Podcast. This week we've got a Super Six focus. The Super Six kicks off this weekend. We talk to Watsonians captain Lee Miller and Ayrshire Bulls captain Blair McPherson. We also look back at the Lions' first test and we look ahead with a team selection to the second test.
Well, joining us on the podcast now are Watsonians captain Lee Miller and Ayrshire Bulls captain Blair McPherson. Guys, thank you very much for jumping on the podcast. It's an exciting week this week as we relaunch the Fosrock Super Six. Lee, I'll come to you first. First question, just excited that rugby's returning, I guess, in Super Six.
Yeah, definitely. I think I speak for everybody and say it's been a long 18 months or whatever it's been. So, it's good to finally get going. Obviously, we had the kind of first full pre-season game at the weekend there, so it was good to kind of get back into it and get a feel for it again. Obviously, with the false start in October as well last year, that it's nice to finally kind of know that it's going to go ahead, hopefully. So, yeah, really looking forward to it.
And was that the first effective game? I know it was a friendly game, but is that the first actual hit out you've had other than kind of training stuff for, what, near on 18 months or so?
That's the first 80 minutes we've played in since February 2020.
How's the body after it?
Surprisingly all right, to be fair. Being the head coach, you're going to get plenty of contact in training, so okay.
And what about you, Blair? You'll be much the same. I mean, obviously, actually, take us back to the end of the first Fosrock Super Six. The playoffs had been decided, but we didn't get any playoffs played, did we?
No. Yes, our last game was the 2nd of March, 2020. So, like Lee said, it's been a really long time since we've played. So, I think our last game was against Heriots, and the playoffs weren't played. So, it's been a really long time. And ourselves, we had our first full pre-season game last Saturday as well. So, the body's maybe not feeling as good as Lee's is, but I dare say that's due to positional reasons.
Forwards versus backs, eh?
Yeah.
You could sort that this week, though, Blair, if you're playing against each other.
Yeah, I dare say I'll be having to target 10 off of the scrums and such, but I'll need to get there first.
And I guess, like, the moment, you know, training, you'd be back out. But there's more to it than that. Missing rugby is one thing, but missing the guys that you play with on a weekly basis as well. How good has it been to kind of get back into that kind of that rugby environment and catch up with those guys, Blair?
Yeah, it's been great because obviously with all the restrictions and guys not all staying very close to each other, you know, it's been quite tough after being so used to being in amongst the guys 3-4 times a week. You know, it's been great just to have a bit of normality and have that kind of contact and banter that you get along with training sessions and things. So hopefully it will continue and we can start to increase the social element of rugby as the restrictions ease, and hopefully that will maybe start a bit on Sunday against Watsons.
You mentioned that kind of camaraderie and team spirit. There's a lot of the squad who featured last time out are returning. I think there's almost 60% have played in around the year before.
Yes.
So there's a familiarity. Is that useful because you've been apart for so long, or is it this almost a line in the sand and it's a new start? A difficult one to answer, I suppose. But that familiarity will help, won't it?
I think it does help in aspects, but there's also, if you look at it the other way, there's 40% of the team that are brand new, so it's kind of given us a new lease of life, and hopefully that'll be seen in Saturday. There's a lot of new talent that's been brought in, and a lot of boys are really keen to kind of showcase what they've got. So, yeah, competitions are good, and it is a good mix of old and new, so hopefully the blend will be right come Saturday.
And you're quite settled as well, Lee, aren't you?
We've kept the bulk of the squad with some new guys coming in. So I think we're the same. We had obviously guys signed up for season two and last year that should have got kicked off in October but didn't. So they kind of hung about, which has been pretty good. So kind of most of the guys have had training together, and then we've done a lot of kind of individual stuff, but as a bit of a individual competition with each other, kind of doing stuff out with actual training as well. So we've kind of been kept in contact all the way through, which has been pretty good. And then once we've come back in, it's been pretty smooth to just kind of get things going.
And looking at the game of rugby itself, Lee, you know, Mossy knows much more about this than I do, but a number of law changes as well. So you're getting back to the game of rugby, but you're also having to adapt to almost new elements of the game as well. How have you found that, these new variations and laws?
Kind of picked up pretty quick. I think we got told on the Thursday night that we're, the changes were coming in for the weekend. So I think it's not as bad as what it may sound. Obviously, the 50-22 was probably going to be the big change. I quite like the held up over the line when you have a dropout. It's kind of rewards you getting the ball back instead of just going in a scrum all the time and standing about 5 minutes. So, I think the 50-22 was probably the big one that'll come in this year and might change a bit of how people defend the backfield. So that's probably going to be the hardest one to pick
up. Was there any opportunity for that at the weekend in your warm-up game? Or was it in your thinking, or was there any actual kind of 50-22s executed for either side in your game?
Harriet's did one, yeah. I had a really good bounce. It just kind of ran the whole way. But
a lucky bounce.
it's good. It's just...
It does change your defensive position, doesn't it? It really does.
Yeah. To think about it and kind of puts the 15s under a bit more pressure and having to manage the backfield. So, I think the thing for myself, it never really took over my thought process and I'm going to go long or whatever. It's just kind of, if it happens, it happens, but I wouldn't necessarily change what I'm doing to try and make it happen unless it was clearly on. So,
Has that been same for you, Blair? Has that been a bit of the focus for the upcoming fixture at the weekend?
Well, we certainly tried it a few times on Saturday, some successful, some not successful. But I suppose it's something we're going to probably try and incorporate. There's obviously benefits of getting attacking lineouts off of kicking instead of having to then compete. So, yeah, it's definitely something we're probably going to use going forward. But I think that's going to be left up to the backs. It's going to be not my decision to be doing that sort of thing.
But new head coach as well, Pat. Obviously, Peter Murchie stepping up since the last time you guys played. So Pat McArthur coming in, and Pat having played international rugby and professional rugby, he'll be all over the intricacies of it. So it will be part of his thinking as well. But do you feel a change? Is there a change in your strategy and style, or is it quite similar to before?
I think a lot of it is quite similar. You know, Pat's been involved with us for quite a few years now, so. He likes the forwards to kind of be dominant and for us to use our set pieces as a real attacking platform. So from that perspective, not a lot's really changed. Backs-wise, Pete Horn, you know, he's been great as well since he's came in. He's kind of brought a new lease of life to the backs, and there's a lot of new talent in the back line as well. So boys are just excited, and, you know, they really just want to get out there and kind of show what they've got. And I think down at Melrose on Saturday, the back line really showed what they're capable of. And if we can tidy a few things up and for this weekend, and we should be pretty dangerous. Possibly a couple of problems, hopefully.
Not too many, hopefully. No.
That's the thing. I mean, it's because it's been such a long break, like anything, it takes time to get back into the swing of things. And I think that's part of the management, Lee, isn't it? It's like you want it to be perfect, you want everything to be right, but you're incorporating new squads, 18 months without a game, new laws, you know, loads of kind of different things going on. So it's not going to be perfect. So is a focus, as negative as it sounds, actually dealing with the mistakes when they happen, like any start, any opening game of the season, that's part of thinking as well, isn't it? To go in with a plan and say, listen, how do we get over these bumps if they come along? And also in the context of a season, you guys are playing every week, back to back to back with the finals in kind of mid-October. There has to be a bit longer term thinking as well, isn't there?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I think because it's such a small, because there's only six teams who play each other, everybody kind of knows what's kind of going to happen. Well, knows what each kind of team does, and we kind of see each other on a regular basis. So I think, like, going from the game on Saturday, it's very frantic. Boys just trying to impress and just so keen to be back out there that mistakes will happen, like you say. But I think, yeah, we need to deal with it and deal with it in a positive way. Obviously, there's the risk that you go error on error, but we're in the kind of thought process that if we make a mistake, it's just done, next job, we move on. And that's kind of the way we've got to think about it, because, like you say, we're going back to back. We ain't got time to kind of dwell on it too much when we're going straight back into it. And we've got a lot of Friday night games as well, so it's kind of leaves you not much time through the week to train. So
you're Sunday this week, so do you go, obviously, we go away here, Sunday, Friday?
Yeah.
You've got 5 day turnaround after the first week.
After the first game, yeah.
I can see Blair smiling at that.
I'm glad it's not me.
It's good to get back up and into it as well. And I suppose the ambition across the teams is there for everybody to see, and you want to win it, you want to perform well, but there'll be ambition within individuals as well to make the step up. There's 31 players who played in the original tournament, went on to play for Edinburgh Glasgow last year. Five were named in the Scottish National Summer Squad Tour that eventually didn't obviously tour, but there are kind of team goals, but personal goals as well, isn't there, Blair? Do you see that in your performance and the performance of everybody else at training, that you really want to push on and kind of max out as best as possible?
Yeah, certainly. I think there's maybe a few older boys like myself who are there. You know, this is the kind of peak of our career, and you know, we're ecstatic to be here. But there certainly are there's a lot of young talent, guys like Ollie Smith and Stafford McDowell that played for us last year. And I think a lot of the other guys see that, and that there are opportunities, and if you do well in the league and do well for the club, then your name will be in conversations, and hopefully you'll get an opportunity. You just, Ross Thompson as well, I mean, he was excellent for us last year, and now he's earned himself into the Scotland team. So yeah, it's great.
It all kicks off this Friday, 30th of July, Buttermere Bears versus Heriot's Rugby. Then on Saturday, we've got Stirling County versus Southern Knights. And then we have you two going at it on Sunday, the 1st of August, Ayrshire Bulls versus Watsonians at 1:30, which is live on Free Sport. So we wish you both the very best of luck for the opening weekend, and we'll no doubt get you back on at some point in the not-too-distant future to discuss the First Rock Super Six. So best luck, guys. We wish you all the best. And yeah, we'll speak to you soon.
Cheers. Thanks very much.
Thanks, lads.
Well, Mossy, great to hear from the two captains of Watsonians and Ayrshire Bulls, Lee and Blair. We're just all excited, aren't we, that rugby's returning and Fos Rock Super Six. It was, you know, it was getting a really good competition. It was really getting going, and then all of a sudden COVID put a stop to that. But I know you're excited for its return, aren't you?
Yeah, like I've had a good look at all six squads, and I see a lot of kind of players who played the last time, and I also see a lot of names returning, the guys who've played in a age gate system before or been involved before, and I just hope that we see some expressive rugby. But I think Blair touching it there just about the conditions this time of year, it should be decent, and there should be a willingness to play, and I think it is set up. There's been a kind of starvation for all these players not being able to play, not being able to execute what they work for. So I think that'll really build to a crescendo in weeks one and two, and there'll be this explosion of just like desperation, which may make it a wee bit inaccurate at times, but I hope there's some creative play. I hope there's some expressive play as well. And with a lot of the kind of the players on show and younger players on show and the condensed format of the championship, I think it's a time of year. I think it'd be a brave coach to say, listen, we're going to try something new and almost expand the game plan a wee bit to potentially what we saw first time round when it was started in November. But yeah, strong squads. They'll need to manage their squads. I think there's only 27 plus the First Rock Academy players aligned to each side, so 30-man squads, and they're playing consecutive weeks right up until middle of October. So there'll be injuries, no doubt, with head contact process and new laws. There'll be some yellow and red cards potentially as well, as behaviours change and you get used to the way that the game's played, rightly so now. So it's a challenge for the coaches as well to manage your squads to get the best of the team. But the challenge won't be in motivating the players, because they'll be absolutely desperate to get going.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we're all looking forward to watching it. The weekend, and we've mentioned it before as well. You could clearly see a step up, couldn't you, in the level of rugby when Fos Rock Super Six launched last year. I remember being at the opening game. I think it was Buttermere Bears, and you could just see like it was a lot. There was increasing intensity and increasing, as you said, ambition. And I guess we just hope that continues.
Yeah, well, that's the pressure on them, and that's the demand of it. That's the reason, one of the main reasons for it being introduced. You're condensing the number of teams. It'll be no more competitive than any other rugby that's played before, because rugby players are competitive. It just means that those who are involved in the Fos Rock Super Six have potentially more time together, more support around them, and they get some ambitious players as well. So I think with that, and with that expectation, comes a wee bit of pressure and comes a bit of kind of the unknown quantity at times, and bigger crowds, greater interest, more live TV coverage. It all adds to the mix. And it was really nice what Blair said there. I wouldn't rule himself out too quickly, but he reckons he's one of the old guys, and that's a pinnacle of his career. You never know. You can make go forward, but that attitude was brilliant to hear as well, because he's, as he always does, going to empty himself totally and utterly for Ayrshire Bulls, and it may progress, you know. But there'll be others whose ambition will be to progress as quick as they can in their professional ranks and international ranks. But the rugby field levels everybody, and if you have to be committed, which you will be, and dealing with that pressure and expectation, hopefully allows them, a spectacle, but a combative, difficult arena for to succeed in, and which makes it for us great to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know it will be quality on the field, and it'll be a quality product off the field as well. You know, the Sunday games are going to be live on Free Sports at 1:30 p.m. And, just confirmed this week, we're going to have Friday night games are going to be on BBC iPlayer, BBC Sports Scotland website, and on scottishrugby.org at 7:30 p.m. Also, you'll be doing some co-coms on Sunday.
I'm on Sunday, yeah.
And I think you'll be doing a lot of work, maybe explaining the new law variations. to everyone watching.
We'll see how they go. From the 1st of August, although, quite rightly the lads played warm-up games last week under the new laws, and World Rugby announced some variations. We've got a global trial for the next year or so, 50-22, goal line dropout, some changes around the latching players, and some changes around the clear-out or focuses for the referee to look at in terms of dangerous clear-outs. So, pretty fast moving, and I suppose the big one really that we've not seen before, some were involved in the Rainbow Cup, but the 50-22, so if you kick from inside your own half and bounce the ball into the opposition 22 and it finds touch, you then get the throw into the line-out. So the idea being that you change, responsibility of defence, but you change the priorities of defence. That should be a reasonably rich pickings, easy kick if you've got, say, a right foot and a left foot, or to find touch in the opposition 22. So if that's the case, you're going to have to cover it, which means pulling defenders out the front line to cover the back line. I think you're going to need at least two, if not three players back, two with maybe somebody sitting in the kind of halfway back in that kick cover role. And the possibilities of what we see, who knows? I think if you've got an accurate kicker, you can pick up territory and potentially more lineouts. If the defend with two back, there's a lot of space up that middle for attacking kicks, for long kicks. Who knows? But I think primarily it's to keep the ball in hand, because you're going to force defenders back, therefore creating more space in the front line. But we may not see any of them. We may see it every 10 minutes. Who knows? That's exactly. The beauty of sport.
Time will tell. But just on that point you made about the new kick, you know, the attacking team would get the line out. You know, on the other hand, what you often see in Scotland, done it quite a lot as well over recent years, is that quick line out ball, finding space. If the ball goes out in the 20 around the 22 area, Hoggy would fire it into someone in the backfield, and they would try and attack from, Scotland have no fear sometimes to attack from kind of their own back line. That will be eradicated, surely, though, because it will be going to the opposition. So is that, what effect will that have on the game?
Well, it would be eradicated if you let the ball get out. So therefore, the focus is you might actually get more attacking opportunities as a defender, because you're going to work so hard, much harder to cover it. You're not going to let the ball dribble into touch, because you're going to concede turnover and possession.
True.
So actually, by placing more defenders back, or a game of cat and mouse as well. I mean, if you play in the back three, I'm giving secrets away here, but you used to try and catch the opposition 10 or 12's eye and walk up 10 metres, look at them, nod, and then walk back 10 metres, and then walk left and walk right. Never stand still. For everybody who plays in the back three, never stand still, and never stand or start where you're going to end up being. Stay in the move the whole time. So it's a real cat and mouse, and you're trying to catch the opposition decision makers' eye to make sure they see you moving, and all these sort of games. So I think what you'll get is more players in the backfield. You might not, but who knows? I think we're getting deep into tactical stuff here, but I think there's a real scope for scrum halves to kick as well from in and around the breakdown. If a scrum half picks up and kicks quickly from just inside his own half, that's really hard for back three players to react to, because usually you react after a one pass or two pass, you can see the ball. But if he kicks or she kicks for the base as a nine, by the time the ball bounces, you know, you've not got a lot of time to get in the move. So who knows? We'll see. But I think it's worth trialing, and we'll see if it promotes a bit more attack in the game or if it leads to more driving line into an opposition 22. Who knows?
Well, let's move back to the professional teams now. With Mike Blair has been appointed Edinburgh Rugby head coach. Richard Cockerill has left the club. And just a note on Cockerill, I guess, Mossy, when he came in 2017, there was a bit of a change needed, I guess, around Edinburgh. And there was no denying that he did have an impact. But I guess Mike Blair will bring maybe something completely different, won't he?
Well, I think he'll want to build on the foundations that Richard built. Absolutely. I think Edinburgh are a combative, competitive team, and the foundations are solid. There's a lot of good there, but I think quite rightly, I think Mike, by his nature, is a more attack minded coach, and something, or maybe not attack minded coach, maybe just will attack in different ways. Richard Cockerill was. He made no bones about it. He knew what his team wanted to do, and it was up to the opposition to stop it. I think there'll be more variation, perhaps, in Mike's stuff. He knows the club really well. He's been a big, big part of Scotland coaching staff for the last number of years, and also coaching the Glasgow before that. Real thinker of the game, but he'll know how he wants Edinburgh to play, and he'll know what will work. But the word we always keep coming back to is a balance. You've got to have a balance. It's a really good squad Edinburgh have. I think there's, you know, strong players coming in. A new start in terms of their facility and their pitch and their stadium. And a real willingness to go into this United Rugby Championship, which is going to be hard. We've said it all along, and I'm really looking forward to Super Six. I'm really looking forward to the United Rugby Championship teeing off as well, once this season's all over and the new season starts. Because there's going to be challenges left, right and centre. There's going to be a physical challenge, absolutely, like there always is. So Edinburgh have to deal with that and cope with that. And there'll be opportunities for teams to play and for Edinburgh maybe to attack in different ways at different times. But I think it's a positive move that Edinburgh are looking to continue to grow in the good work that Richard's built.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what maybe changes happen around the Scotland team with Mike moving across to Edinburgh as well. So we'll an interesting one to follow there to see how Gregor bolsters his management team.
Mike's been on the podcast a few times as well, and you just know his infectious personality for rugby.
Oh yeah,
But he has a real strength in him to stick to his principles. What he believes. So he studies the game so well that what he decides to do and how they decide to do it will be, you know, an awful lot of study and reason and theory behind it and rationale behind it. But in terms of how he goes about it as well, he has an infectious personality, and he'll have a squad excited to hopefully hit the ground running with the URC start.
Yeah, exciting times for Edinburgh Rugby, and can't wait to follow it all. As you said, when the United Rugby Championship takes place. Now, the other big news this week was the first test match against South Africa took place the weekend, Mossy. A win for the British and Irish Lions. What did you make of the performance, in particular, our Scottish boys?
Yeah, good. Well, it's winning, isn't it? You win away from home, especially being 12-3 down at half-time. I thought that's the headline, is winning and finding a way to win. And also winning from a losing position. Not just in the scoreboard, but like really, I thought second best in a lot of areas in the first half. And I think the Lions coaching staff and the Lions players won't get carried away like perhaps some others do in terms of the victory, because they'll realise that the first half wasn't where they want to be. And they managed to win that game with their second half performance. And it looked to me as if one team were used to playing international rugby over the last 18 months and one team weren't. It's not a conditioning or a fitness thing. It's just the exposure to that level of rugby. You can see it was about a 55-minute mark that the Lions just took total control. And basically, for me, it swung a lot of discipline. And the penalties that South Africa were giving away were probably the result of them just
absolutely flying in the first 40 minutes, and then, you know, just falling off the, I suppose, the intensity a little bit. And from there, game management, winning the discipline battle, the Lions just, through the work they'd done earlier on in the half as well, the first 50 minutes of the second half, just built a platform for them to win. I do think, and this isn't as sensational as it maybe sounds, but I think the Lions will think they rode their luck a little bit. And a couple of things, I think the TMO decisions were all right. They were all correct. But it is a matter of inches or millimetres at a time, whether it's a knock-on. The one where Colby went up and knocked on in the air, it wasn't a knock-on, it's fine. But the South Africans, for all that maybe hadn't played at that intensity for as long, I think still created opportunities that will worry the Lions a wee bit, which is a brilliant thing, because they've won that first test. They go into the second test thinking, you know, we didn't play as well as we could have. And, you know, as a coaches, they can use that message. We rode our luck a wee bit at times.
Yeah.
But the Scottish lads performed well, like all the other, everybody really. They played their part, and it was good to see.
Well, Mossy, Rach, we discussed the Lions' first test against Africa and everything that came out of that game. But we now have the team for the second test in Cape Town. A number of changes to the squad. Rach, I'll come to you first. What do you make of the changes that Warren Gatland's made for this match?
Yeah, I think we expected to see a few changes. I think Mackle coming in, he very much is earned that place in the starting 15. I thought when he came on, the scrum really steadied. So I think that's a fair change there. And I think the pack generally did really well, dealt with the kind of power of South Africa well. So I'm not surprised there's not that many changes there. And I think Chris Harris coming in at centre is one that I thought might happen because, you know my stuff. No, I'm joking. But I thought from a defensive point of view, I think he brings a little bit more than Daly in that position. And I think Daly struggled there. And Chris Harris played so well in the build-up that I think he's very much earned an opportunity. And I think, he'll go well there.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Sometimes I'm not. I mean, you've got such a brilliant squad and such a depth of talent that, making changes, I think they're at a stage where it's almost like horses for courses in terms of what type of pressure they've got to be under this week compared to last week.
Yeah.
I'm surprised for some reason that Ali's not starting. But then you think, actually, the context of this game is that South Africans are desperate. They're desperate. So you might actually have to make less of a statement early on in terms of being Lions and almost just force South Africa to play. And you've got two quality nines there who both served a purpose last week, and that purpose might be kind of reversed this week. It might be that the Lions want to, you know, just contain this massive wave of physicality and desperation and then cut loose. So I think you've got, you know, quality players that can do that. I think delighted for Chris Harris as well. And I think, to be honest, not thinking outside the box, it might be an attacking decision more than a defensive decision in terms of how South Africa defend and fly up. Both brilliant attackers and brilliant defenders. Elliot Daly, I think, is a fantastic player. But his natural instinct is to kind of curve out or drift out or use his footwork rather than hit a hard line. And I think the way South Africa defend, it's hard to get an outside arc now or a step, time even step a defender in that channel. So you're maybe actually looking for, towards the end of the Six Nations, Chris Harris's attacking lines in terms of just picking a line, running it hard, winning the space, winning the contact, and then get his hands free was really good. So I think it might be, as well as you say, Rach, his defence is awesome, but it might be a more direct attacking approach. Because you've maybe not got the time to get that more natural outside edge or that step that Elliot Daly offers. But again, he's on the bench, he'll come on, and you've got the option to change it, you've got the option to add to it. So South Africa's made a couple of changes as well, changed the front row a little bit, gone for a 6-2 split in the bench. So again, that all points to the physicality, the brutality that they in South Africa believe what gives them the best chance of winning. It worked in the World Cup.
Dan Biggar is in the squad at the moment, starting at 10, although he is subject to completing a return to play protocol. So I think he's going to train on Thursday. We'll probably get more clarity on that. But we maybe could see Finn feature in the game, or would you think would they go with Marcus Smith, or would Farrell go to 10? What do you think? What do you think the process will be if Bigger doesn't play, guys?
I would be surprised if Finn came in. From just the point of view of, I think what Mossy said around what the Lions is probably going to try and do at the start of the game and play a little bit more, I guess, less kind of energy type game and just control the game a little bit.
You don't have to force it, do they? I mean, the cards on the table for South Africa, South Africa have to chase it, really. And they won't chase it in the first minute, but in terms of mindset, in the context of a three-game series, 1-0 down, the pressure's on them.
Yeah. Really. I would love to see Finn or Marcus Smith come in at 10, but I think with Cam heads on, it would probably be a more obvious choice to put Farrell in there at 10, but Mossy probably has more of a say in that.
No, I think that's what we do. I think the I thought they might involve Farrell anyway and Henshaw in the midfield as well, move Henshaw out if Bigger was fit anyway. I think the determining point for me in the game last week was about 55 minutes, where there was almost this clear example, I said earlier on, that there was one team that was used to playing international rugby and basically in time with it, up to game speed, and one team wasn't. And if that was one of the determining factors last week, then it would be hard on Finn, or it would be a big ask on Finn, to have played very little rugby in the last 3 weeks to find that match intensity right away. So I'd love him to be involved, absolutely. Yeah. Marcus Smith had a cracking game as well and can do similar bits and pieces. But who knows? Is it Thursday? There's an independent assessment as well as his return to play protocol, concussive protocol. So, you know, they're not going to take a risk with Dan Bigger, but it'd be Thursday. And then, I mean, the players will be training, you know, with these what if scenarios anyway. So they'll have a good idea. But as I say, we'll wait and see.
There's a lot at stake for this match the weekend. There's a chance for the British National Lions to wrap the series up in a sense, but there's also a real chance that South Africa will come back all guns blazing. What do you guys expect from South Africa? Are they even more dangerous when they're kind of a little bit wounded?
I think they are. I think what makes them more dangerous is they've had another game at national rugby. I mean, they'd only played Georgia in 19 months and through no fault of anybody, but the as a proper test match, a qualifying test match. So that 80 minutes last week is it's 50% again on what they'd had already in terms of preparation time on the field. So that makes a difference. But it's just that I mentioned it earlier, just the swing of pressure, isn't it? It's like, is it urgency or is it desperation? And does that then force errors through trying too hard? Does it force the edge of the envelope in terms of getting onside, getting off the line, giving away penalties? I think South Africa were a wee bit unlucky last week as well. A lot of the kind of big calls, quite rightly, I think the calls were correct, but, you know, just a fingertip knock on for Charles and Colby in the lead up to one of the tries that was disallowed, quite rightly disallowed, but I mean, that's a fine margin, you know, there's fine margins there. I think what helps the Lions is they know that they maybe did get lucky at times last week as well. And I think if they'd won comprehensively without really having to dig it out and come from behind, the threat to the Lions this week, maybe being a little bit more complacent, would be greater. But I think they know, and the comments that Warren Gatlin said, I'm kind of reading into it, agreeing with is, listen, yeah, we won last week, we got ourselves at home, but we should have been better and we'll have to be better. So I think that helps, but there's no doubt that Springboks have got another 80 minutes under their belt. They're coming loaded. And then the momentum swings again. If South Africa can do that, you go into a deciding match that's just off the scale in terms of tension.
Yeah, I reckon you've got two scenarios, really. Like, you've got a South Africa who come out and defend like they did in the first half. Like, their defence was just unbelievable to start with. If they now, with an extra 80 minutes like under their belts, can sustain that, then it becomes a really difficult day for the Lions. Whereas if they come out with that desperation, and they showed it in the first test, where when the Lions just defended patiently and South Africa had the ball for phase after phase, they coughed it up and they made mistakes. So if they have got that desperation about them, then they might make more mistakes. So I think whether they can control the game is probably actually what's going to define whether they're successful or not, or they do have too much desperation about them. I think it's lined up to be another cracker.
Somebody said to me this morning, actually, and I didn't notice at the time, and I'm trusting this person's judgment, it's true. There was only, South Africa only had four lineouts in the entire game. So, you know, it was a clear tactic. Mm. It looks like a clear tactic for the Lions to keep the ball in the field, to try and keep that intensity high, knowing that South Africa hadn't played a lot of test match rugby or international rugby. So even that in itself, like the juggernaut, the pack, the line-out brilliance, the driving maul, you know, that South Africa could have, they were starved of that as well. Now, four line-outs, is it? There's not many games, you'll only get four line-outs. And you'd imagine, even if the opposition are trying to keep it off, you'd imagine there'd be more this week, which is, and that could potentially be another avenue in for South Africa. So it is so finely balanced that, you know, every facet micromanaged, isn't it, to the nth degree, but I do still quite like the fact that it's sport and there's an element of chance involved in it, and whoever turns up and can deal with the pressure on the day and do their basics exceptionally well gives themselves a chance of winning.
Let's move closer to home. You know, there's some news and around the men's team at Scotland. You know, delighted to announce that there'll be a fourth now Autumn Nations Series match. So we're now joining Australia, South Africa and Japan. We're going to have Tonga. Now, I think last time they were here was at Rugby Park, I think 2016, under Vern Cotter. Four games in the autumn. You know, Rach, you've played in championships and you've had Autumn Series as well. Mossy, you've had back-to-back games. But they're four pretty punchy fixtures, aren't they?
Yeah, I think, four really tough fixtures. And some of them, people that they're obviously a wee bit more familiar with playing more recently. But I think it's super exciting, obviously, after the year and particularly more recently what's happened with the summer tour. You know, the more matches, I'm sure, that the men can get, the better for them and exactly what they want going forward.
Yeah, you're going to need this depth of talent, aren't you, that, you know, creating in Scotland through all the, you know, the kind of domestic rugby through the age grade rugby to the adult rugby, Super Six, pro teams, internationals. You're going to need this depth of talent coming through, because it looks like there's going to be more and more internationals as the years go on, and meaningful competitive internationals, with, you know, in terms of Autumn Nations Cups and Championships. So it's, that starts again. I mean, here we are, we're not even, some of the players are more, haven't even finished last year's international season, and we're getting news of next year's one. So you need that depth of talent. I think it's great that there's four games. Different challenges as well. When Tonga's first up, it'll be a different challenge to what Australia pose. Different again to what South Africa will throw at you. And then, you know, completely different to what Japan will challenge that we know quite well, in all honesty, but exciting to watch, exciting to play against. So it's some cracking fixtures coming up there. I say there's international rugby to finish this year first, and there's a lot of professional rugby to come before the Autumn Nations. But yeah, it's a great opportunity for the players now to put their hand up to represent their country and to continue the development of the national side.
I've just fact-checked myself, and unfortunately I got that wrong. It was 2014 we played Tonga at Rugby Park.
I thought it was a long time ago.
It was 2016 we played Georgia at Rugby Park, so I got the two mixed up. These things happen. You know, I've done this podcast how many years now, and it was bound to happen at some point.
Well, thanks everybody once again for listening. We look forward to the rugby this weekend and all its shapes and sizes. Four tests, as we've already said, in October, November for Scottish rugby this season. If you are looking for tickets, then the tickets go on general sale on Monday the 2nd of August, and you get all the information at scottishrugby.org.